Good morning. Thank you so much for joining us. You know, half of all mental illnesses start before the age of 14. Yet only 1 in 5 children receive the mental health care they need, and early treatment is key to a child's well-being. Dr. Bella Suitt, child and adolescent psychiatrist and a senior professor for child and mental health policy, is here to talk about how parents can recognize the warning signs of possible mental health issues in their children. The first thing is that we have to pay attention. How are you this morning, Dr. Suitt?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
Good.
Yes. So to this issue, I think children, parents know the children the best.
Mm-hmm.
They're familiar with them. They know what their behaviors are like. And so when parents begin to see drastic changes in mood or that the child is becoming very intense in expressing their fears, et cetera, or that their behavior changes and they begin to feel that grades are slipping, their relationships with other friends are deteriorating, or they're having trouble concentrating, or they have weight loss or problems with sleep, all of those things are red flags for parents to sit up and say, do I need to speak to someone about this?
Right.
And certainly talking to the children first is really a very good first step.
It really is. What types of mental issues usually affect our children? And you're talking about tweens. That's kind of middle schoolish, 6th, 7th, 8th grade, if
right.
you're talking about before
mm-hmm.
14.
Yes, yes. So people get very surprised by the fact that very young children can experience depression, and anxiety is certainly a very common phenomena. Panic attacks can be seen, and certainly attention deficit hyperactivity disorder is a problem which presents fairly early in childhood.
Mm-hmm.
What's happening around the child in the way of experiencing traumatic events and the response to them just depends upon the child's temperament. And so there are a variety of different things that might occur. So all of these things can present fairly early in life. And, of course, the worst complications are that the child's functioning keeps going down, and sometimes the worst sort of complication is self-harm, like expressing suicidal ideation.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You just talked about, traumatic things that happen in a child's life. Are there other things that can cause mental illness in children?
Certainly. I think we now know very well that mental health issues, just like physical health issues, are very much hereditary.
Mm-hmm.
So they come down genetically from parents. And depending upon the child's temperament, what's going on in the environment, many of these predispositions can present themselves once the right circumstances sort of arrive.
Mm.
So there are multiple reasons why mental health issues can present in childhood, and those really need to be assessed holistically by a person who's trained in mental health.
Exactly. For our children, if we think there's a problem, and usually when we feel it in our gut and our instinct, we know, that there's a problem. What sort of doctor should we be looking for? A psychologist, a psychiatrist, a therapist? Where should we go?
The biggest problems with child mental health now is access to a trained physician
mm-hmm.
who specializes in behavioral health.
Mm-hmm.
The first step, I would say, is to speak with your pediatrician, who really would be able to sort of like a traffic director of where your child should be going, and certainly eventually landing up with someone who's very well-trained, such as a psychiatrist, a child psychologist, a licensed clinical physician, or a counselor. Those kinds of people would be the appropriate social workers.
Mm-hmm.
All of these people have the right training to assess your child and develop a good treatment plan.
You know, the world is, always sitting up right now because there's so many things happening in the schools with our children, and a lot of that is associated with their mental health, correct?
Absolutely. I think mental health is just like physical health, a prerequisite for appropriate concentration, education, dealing with other folks. So I think that we have for a very long time, really put it to the side and not given it the right kind of attention.
Mm-hmm.
And there is there are so many good treatments available, interventions which are available. It's a question of being aware of it and really getting rid of the stigma so that it can be talked about openly and people can seek treatment where necessary.
You know, I just heard on the news this morning, one of the school systems is now employing therapists, psychologists, psychiatrists to, I don't know if you call it handle or care for or teach or whatever they must do with kids that they think have some kind of mental health issues. Those kids that are maybe on the fringe or maybe just about there, and they're trying to pull them back in and take care of their mental health needs. I kind of think that's a good idea.
Yeah, well, more power to them. I think they seem like a very enlightened school system. And it is always good for an adult, and it may be a therapist or it may just be a teacher, to make that eye contact with a child who's coming to school to find out what's going on with them. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's merely sort of picking up that the type of warning sign and then really referring the child to the right kind of individual. It may be a parent to raise the awareness of what might be going on with the kid. But that extra body and that those set of extra eyes, just being aware of some of these things and not kind of putting a blind eye towards it because you don't know what to do. So I think these kinds of talking with you and really educating the public that these are not things to be scared of.
Right.
Because a lot of help available.
Absolutely. And, you know, if you dismiss it and it continues to grow, then you've got young adults with mental health issues. And it goes on into adulthood. And, you know, folks are looking around going, what happened to him or her? Well, nobody paid attention when they were younger, you know?
Absolutely. And and you've just hit it right in the head that prevention is better than, you know, an ounce of prevention is better than a pound of cure.
Mm-hmm.
And so the quicker we intervene, the better the child is equipped to handle adulthood and all of the complexities of relationships and how do you cope with problems which come up, or and there is a lot of help available around those issues.
So tell parents out there who just may have an inkling, and if your child is depressed, definitely get that child some help, because that can be a lifelong issue for somebody if you don't get them help early and they know how to handle it, you know how to look for it and know what to do. Tell folks where they need to go for more information.
So chrichmond.org/VTCC, which is our new facility, which we have just opened for holistic treatment of children and families, is a very good place to look for more information about mental health. And certainly national organizations like the National Institutes of Mental Health, American Academy of Child and Adolescent Psychiatry, ACAP.org, places which can, you know, there's a specific illnesses like for depression, you can look at childmind.org. There is a lot of information now available, and there's a real push to get this information out so that people know they're not alone, and that there is available help, available places where they can get assistance.
And mom and dad is not a reflection of you. Some parents don't get their kids help because they don't want anybody to think, I was a bad parent, it was my fault. It was, you know, there's that part of it too.
Absolutely not. You don't accuse a parent of a child getting diabetes or asthma. We go ahead and treat it. And similarly with mental health issues, if something is coming down the pike because you're carrying it, that's not your fault either.
Right.
None of us wish that or want that upon ourselves.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. Dr. Bellasoud, Senior Professor for Child and Mental Health Policy, Virginia Commonwealth University Department of Psychiatry and Virginia Treatment Center for Children. Thank you so much for joining us and sharing this information.
Thank you. for having me.
Good morning, and thank you so much for joining us. You know, in a world where access to near limitless information is our absolute norm, it's no surprise that Americans are fascinated by their genetic makeup and what every detail of their DNA can tell them, from details about their ancestry and ethnicity to their health. Genetic testing is on the rise. In fact, the number of people who say they've taken an at-home genetic test has doubled in the last year. Juliana Cintron joins us from 23andMe, and she's a genetics trend expert. How are you this morning?
I'm doing well. How are you?
You guys did a survey that talks about some findings about, you know, folks wanting to find out who they are. It's amazing. It's like it just boomed, you know, all of a sudden.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's correct. We surveyed over 1,000 adults across the U.S., and like you said, we found that the number of people who've taken an at-home genetic test has doubled in the last year, which is pretty incredible.
Why do you think folks want to know so much now about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think the increased interest just comes about the comes from the fact that it's more affordable.
Mm.
It's more accessible. Mm-hmm. There's more awareness. So more and more people know about it and want to take an at-home test to find out more about themselves.
So what do they want to know mostly? Where I came from, or do they want to know about their health risks, or what do they want to know about?
I think about both. You know, in the survey, we found out that nearly 1 in 2 Americans believe that using one of these at-home genetic tests could help better their health.
Mm-hmm.
23andMe offers both services. So on the ancestry side, we can tell you where your DNA comes from out of over 150 regions worldwide. And a lot of people are interested in either confirming what they've heard about their family history or, you know, being surprised if they don't know where their genetics are from.
Mm-hmm.
On the health side, we can tell you about genetics that can influence your risk for certain diseases.
Mm-hmm.
You can learn how your genes play a role in your well-being. And if you're thinking about starting a family, we also have reports that can tell you if you're a carrier for certain conditions. It's just important to keep in mind that 23andMe isn't a diagnostic service. So
right.
We're testing for a limited number of variants within each disease. And then we always recommend confirmatory testing from a healthcare
mm-hmm.
provider.
Mm-hmm. Now, is it dangerous or can it be detrimental to someone if, let me rephrase that. Is your information confidential or does anybody get to see that information?
No, we take you know, our customers' privacy very, very seriously. We keep your information stored in secure databases, and so we make sure that no one gets a hold of that.
That's good because, you know, you hear a lot about healthcare is now accessing those records and, you know, denying people of insurance. I'm not sure what's going on with that, but I've read a few articles about that. And I was like, OK, that's
yeah.
Crazy.
So we don't share any data with, you know, any employers or mm-hmm. insurance companies. There's actually federal laws that prevent health insurance companies from discriminating against people based on their DNA.
Good deal.
So
What was there anything in the survey that was very surprising for you?
Yeah, a couple of things. So 7 out of 10 people know that humans have 23 pairs of chromosomes. So hopefully 23andMe can educate people
mm-hmm.
On this fact, since our name comes from the number of pairs of chromosomes in your DNA.
Mm-hmm.
We learned from the survey that, you know, people's understanding of genetics still has a bit of a way to go. But slightly more than half, you know, knew that genes are made up of DNA.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully today, since it's National DNA Day, you know, which is a celebration of genetics, but also a day of education, people can learn more. And we do have a Facebook Live broadcast starting at 9 a.m. Pacific time today. It's through 23andMe. So if you go on 23andMe's Facebook page, we're talking to 23andMe experts, third-party experts, 23andMe customers. They're talking about their experiences and what you can learn from DNA.
I think people are so surprised and elated, and I think it gives them a sense of confidence in, you know, in knowing that, hey, I'm 23% this, 60% that. You know what I'm saying? They
mm-hmm.
are so excited by knowing who they are and where they came from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. I think that a lot of people feel very empowered with this information.
Mm-hmm. So tell people where they can go for more information one more time.
So for more information, you can check out our website at 23andMe.com. And you can also tune in today at 9 a.m. Pacific time to our Facebook Live broadcast. And it's through 23andMe's Facebook page.
All right. One more question. Accuracy.
Yeah, sure. So we're the only direct-to-consumer company that received FDA authorization for our genetic health tests. And as part of that, our genetic health risk and carrier status reports received over 99% accuracy results.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's phenomenal.
We're very accurate.
Phenomenal. When people get the kit, what do they have to do?
Yeah, so they get the kit. It's a spit test, so they just spit into a tube. They register their kit online. They send it back to our laboratory, and in about 6 to 8 weeks, their results will be ready within their online account.
I love it. Juliana, thank you so much for joining us. 23andme.com is where you need to go for more information. Thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.